Good morning. Welcome to Lock Haven Baptist Church.
Oh, be crucified.
Jesus' disciples did not understand what was happening right in front of their eyes. They were losing both their friend and their Lord.
With cruelty and authority given by Pilate, the soldiers placed a heavy cross upon the back of Jesus.
Struggling up the hill, bearing the weight of his cross, his heart ached for those who did not believe in him.
Hanging on the cross with nails in his feet and in his hands, Jesus looked out and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
After he breathed his last breath, everyone assumed it was all over. They thought he was gone, forever.
Carefully placing his body in a borrowed tomb and sealing it tight, little did anyone know what was to happen next.
So we need to get our little classes back up. So use this as a tool to invite them. And don't forget our sunrise service, 7 o'clock. We'll be out here on the church lawn. We have some special singing that's going to take place. We'll sing some congregationals, and then we'll worship the Lord as the sun rises above the trees over towards the east. And thank the Lord for Resurrection Sunday. So come back and be with us on next Sunday morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. And then we'll have breakfast here on the grounds for you at the fellowship hall. We got four outstanding cooks. We haven't chopped any of them off yet. They're still in the mix there, working at it, so they need you to come taste their food. So that'll be right after the sunrise service, and then we'll have our normal 10 o'clock service, Sunday school, and then our morning worship at 11, where we'll have more great singing, just like you just heard. They got all the groups are going to sing again next week in celebration of Resurrection Sunday. Acts chapter number 17 this morning. I will not keep you very long at all today. We'll be out of here before 3:30, and so you just bear with me. Don't forget, if you have kids in the choir, they need to be here this evening to practice for next week. Very important that we practice. All of them did very well. Acts chapter number 17. The men had a wonderful time down at the men's advanced in Tampa. There was probably close to 400 men, I guess. I didn't count them all, but that joined us down there, and we had a wonderful time of fellowship. And if you did not or could not make either one of those events this year, the one in Georgia or one in Tampa, please mark your calendars and talk about it next year. Men, I would not miss it. Matter of fact, Brother Judd, are you somewhere I can see you? Oh, there you are. I thought you'd be in the shadow. You know that song we sung at the men, y'all choir, y'all got up there, Faithful Men? Can we get that sheet music when Brother Ray gets down here at the end of the time? Got it. I think I'd like to see every man up here singing on Father's Day. Every man in the church. Visitors alike. You got a while to go. That's June what? Yeah, we can learn it by then. We need faithful men. Well, I don't sing, Pastor. That's okay. Come up here and say watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. You just need to learn to be faithful, because he that's faithful in least will be faithful in much. So you can do that for us, Brother Judd? All right. All right. Acts 17. I told you 16, didn't I? No? I'm in Romans 16, so it doesn't matter. Acts 17. And we'll start reading in verse 32 when we start reading. Now, Easter Sunday is about the gospel. And that's what we're building up to, is the gospel. The message of Christianity is the gospel. Without the gospel, we might as well just be at the Masters playing golf. We might as well be over at Daytona racing cars around the circus without the gospel. Because if there was no hope of eternity through Christ Jesus our Lord, dear friend, meeting together like this would be in vain. It would totally be in vain. We would just be here as a social group. Just some kind of club meet together. We can all join the Mooses, the Gooses, and the Masons and just enjoy ourselves with our secret handshakes and eyeball things. All that because it's just it'd be a social club. It's about the gospel. That's why we meet. The whole purpose we come together as a church is so that we might perfect ourselves for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry, dear friend, is the gospel. It's not secondary, it's not third, it's not fourth. It is the primary main thing that we should be about, is the gospel. I know there's a lot of good things. Listen, there's a lot of good things. I enjoy, different activities. I enjoy, ladies, you're coming up on Mother's Day, May 4th. Y'all going to have a get together. There'll be mothers and daughters, grandmothers there, granddaughters all together. The men are going to barbecue or cook for you. You're going to have a wonderful time. You have a time of fellowship. Single ladies, married ladies, doesn't matter. It's a celebration of ladies that day, May 4th. I love that. That's wonderful. But if that's all we're going to do, we can do that with the Yellow Hat Club. Y'all could make up something. Maybe, you got the Red Hat Club. Y'all have your own little woman's club. But it's more than that. I thank God Brother Scott was able to take our youth to two different youth groups, Friday night and Saturday. Amen. Praise God for it. But if I only went over there to get a Hershey's bar and to throw around a few games and mix it in, and that's all they went for, well, we can do that over at Fun Spot. I mean, we can do that, but the primary business of this is the gospel. And I think what has happened to us in this day and age we live in is that we feel rejected when we talk about our faith. How many could agree? You don't have to raise your hand and say amen. You don't have to clap and all that. But how many can agree that it's not popular right now anywhere to start talking about your faith? But our faith is our victory, dear friend. And I think sometimes when we do talk about our faith, we get a different response that we're not expecting, and then it discourages us. We become despondent. We say, well, what does it matter? Well, this morning, I want to take the Word of God, and I want to show you that even in the great Apostle Paul's life, there was different responses as he presented Christ to people. And I don't want you to get locked in thinking there's going to be, every time I present Christ and I talk about my faith, at the end of that, somebody's going to say a prayer, call out to Christ and ask Him to be their Savior, and another person's going to join the family of God. I don't want you to get discouraged when that don't happen. Here in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17, verse 1, Paul begins in Thessalonica. He preaches there for 3 weeks. There's some folks that trust Christ, some folks that don't trust Christ, some folks that get real mad and run Him off. In verse number 9, we find Him in Berea. In verse number 9, He's down there in Berea. Berea had a bunch of great, godly people. The Bible said, matter of fact, that they were, more noble than others because they searched the Scriptures daily. These were Bible students. But then all of a sudden, some folk come down from Thessalonica and they got mad. They were still mad from his visit in Thessalonica 3 weeks up there. He came to Berea. They chased him out of Berea. In verse 15, you find Paul headed down into Athens. This is one chapter in the Word of God. One chapter in the Word of God. Paul starts at Thessalonica. That's up in the north part of Greece. And comes down into Berea, which is a little bit further south, about 45 to 60 miles south of Thessalonica. He's down there. Then he's down in Athens, which is down there at the lower part of Athens. And then at the beginning of chapter 18, he is headed to Corinth. This is one chapter that Paul was presenting the gospel throughout the whole nation of Greece. In other words, he started way up north. He worked himself all the way down through there. And he had different responses in the same nation by different people. And many times as we meet and talk and spend time with people and the boldness of the Holy Spirit of God comes upon us, we're able to share our faith with them. And we're that witness that the Bible asks us to be different. They react in different ways. React in different ways. How many of you got kids when they were 1 year old or 8 months old, when you started feeding them that canned jar gerbil baby food? I don't understand this. Why in the world would we start them on that? And they want you to start them with green peas. How many of you had the baby just spit it out? I mean, you shoveling it out. And they said, don't give them the sweet stuff. Don't give them the applesauce. Don't give them that. And you're trying to shovel it in, and there's more all over that baby than it ever got in its mouth. I think it's a trick of Goebbels. It's a way to get, it's called job security. Got to come back and buy more greens, more carrots, more. I'm surprised they ain't trying to feed them little babies rutabagas or something like that. But listen, dear friend, there's different results. Then when they get older, we got to get them to eat these vegetables. We got broccoli. They look at that broccoli and think, that looks like that's a miniature oak tree to them. How many of you just had to get the first out of the bat, you give them that broccoli and put it on their plate, and man, they just ate it up. Not all of them. Some of them like, some of them try. Most of them don't even want to be around. It's like that. Well, I'm going to tell you, friend, that's exactly how lost people act when we present them the gospel. There's different reactions. And we find it here all through the book of Acts, and especially Acts chapter 17. But in the latter part, verse number 32 of Acts chapter 17, I want you to notice something here. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 17, verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, listen what happened. Some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. Among the which was the Areopagite, I don't know what his name was, and a woman named Damaris and others with them. Right here, you have three different responses to the gospel. Paul's there, he's talking about the resurrection. Well, what's the gospel? The death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever believed in Him and trusted Him, put faith in the finished work of the cross of Calvary and repented toward God, that is the gospel. He's talking with them about the gospel, the resurrection. He's dealing with them. Some mocked. Some said, well, that sounds good. I think I'll come back around. I'll hear a little bit more of this. But others, right here in these little three verses we read, others claim unto the gospel. They heard it and they believed. Go with me back over in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 1. Hold your place in Acts 17. Isaiah chapter number 1. And verse 16. This is a pattern, a model that we can use as we begin to speak with people and talk to them about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about religion. Somehow or another, we get it all mixed up. The primary thing is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find it easy to talk about our church. The church choir, the church solos, we talk about the church activities. We don't have a problem with that. But when it comes to talking to people, and getting on the subject of the resurrection, or getting on the subject of trusting Christ, or our testimony of trust Christ, man, the body, the mind, it just puts the brakes on. So, wait a minute on that. I mean, they might, they might get upset with me. They might. And that's what our mind starts doing. And before long, with them, they might it until they're gone. And we talk ourselves out of it. So let's look here in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. This is how we need to look at this. When we're presenting the gospel. The Bible says here, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless and plead for the widow. Verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Through your sins, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What are we told here to do? We need to clean up our act. I mean, we got to make sure we're right. Mr. Dear friend, listen, when you're the child of the Lord and you want to present the gospel to somebody, dear friend, you've got to make sure everything's right about you. Outwardly speaking, see, salvation begins in the heart. Too oftentimes, we try to clean up the outside. The heart is far from God, or we can never trust God. We're just a religious person. We just know some religious things, and we want to talk about religious activity, but we don't know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior because salvation is from the heart. It's not about how many sacraments we know. It's not about how many activities we know. It's not about the movement and or the orientation and operation of a church that makes us a child of the King. What makes us a child of the King is that we admit to God that I'm a sinner above all. I'm chiefest of sinner myself. Not my mama, not my daddy, not my grandma, not my pastor. I am a sinner. I agree, God. I have sinned. I've transgressed thy law. And Jesus Christ, your Son, the Lamb of God, died on the cross of Calvary, was buried, and on the third day rose again. And I put faith and trust in Him as my Savior. And He redeems you back and you become His child. Amen. And you know that. So now you're His child. We need to clean up some things. That's what, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well. You know what's said otherwise? How many of you ever had to teach your child how to say no? We've got 8 children. The first thing, well, my wife is convinced all 8 of them said mama first. I am totally 100% convinced, Brother Frank, they all said no first. But it's just like it's there. That's how we are. We have to learn to do well. We got to seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. So in other words, people see us living like a child of the King, knowing that we're on our way to heaven, that we have a holy and righteous God, and we're putting Christ first in our life, and God has the throne of our heart and the preeminence of our life. Then we can say to them, hey, come, let's reason together. Let's talk about this thing. Let's reason together. This is what God says to us. Come now and let us reason together. So you're going to have different responses. You're going to have different people that say different things. And I'll tell you, dear friend, listen, don't be surprised when the first reaction is some mock. Did they not mock our Lord as he was on the cross of Calvary? Don't be surprised when some hate. Does not the Bible tell us in John 15:18, they hated me before they hated you? Don't be surprised when their reaction is, oh, you're one of those religious fanatics, huh? Who are you to talk to me about Jesus? Are you a preacher? What seminary have you been to? Don't be surprised when there's a mocking attitude that comes out first. Don't be surprised, because that's what the action we have here. But the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 4 that we are to sow the seed. And sometimes the seed, Brother Darrell, sometimes the seed falls on some stony ground. Some thorny ground. Some hard ground. There's that time. It falls on that good ground. Don't be surprised when you share your faith that you're not mocked at. You know the Bible says that that's going to be, that's just simply what is one of the responses. Look with me in Acts chapter number 4, if you would, real quick. Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people of the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole? Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even him, both this man stand here before you whole. Verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So he's presenting the gospel because they're mad at him because this impotent man has just been healed. And so now he's taking opportunity to share the gospel with him. Verse 13, listen what it says. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, listen, and perceived that he were unlearned and ignorant men. Mocking, huh? Unlearned. Who are these fishermen to share this gospel thing with us? They're unlearned and unignorant. They're ignorant men. They marveled. Why did they marvel? And they took knowledge. Why did they take knowledge of them? This is why. That they had been with Jesus. They mocked. They made fun. But they marveled. They stood back and said, wow. There's something different here. What happened? I believe Peter and them had done read Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 16. Said, hey, we were dirty. We were wicked. We were sinners. We did things in a wicked manner. But hey, it's time to clean up. It's time to put aside the wicked doings. It's time to learn to do well. It's time to spend time around the things of God. And they took note. Let me tell you something different. You can't get around God and just do your own thing. You can't get around God and spend time around God because just think you're going to live your own way. There's some things that's got to change. Some things in your life that's got to be cleaned up. Some things in your life that you got to turn over and yield. So, Pastor, so if I yield here and I clean up there and I put this out of my life, I'll be pretty good. You'll be pretty good. But without Jesus, you'll just be pretty good. And you'll clean up, you'll put aside, and you'll lay aside, and you'll be pretty good. And at the end of it, you'll say, Lord, Lord, I did this, and I went there, and I was like that. And he says, depart from me, thy worker of iniquity, I never knew you. So what's the difference here with Peter and what's going on here? They're mocking, but they understood something. They marveled. And they took note and knowledge that, hey, they've been Jesus. What's the difference in your and I's life? It's Jesus. Jesus, the hope of glory. How is Jesus shining in your life today? In your life today? How is he shining in your life? You know, how is that working out for you? Personally. They mocked. They made fun. Look with me in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 16. Acts chapter 5. Verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folk with them, which were vexed and unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up. The religious sect rose up. What's going on around here? And all they that were with him, which is the sect of Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. So here's the apostles out there doing what God said, to do. People are getting right and their lives getting healed and fixed up. And the religious crowd got upset, got bothered, got troubled, laid hold of them, put them in prison. Verse 19 says, but the angel of the Lord by the night opened the prison door and brought them forth and said, this is what the angel of the Lord said to them. Get back out there, stand and speak in the temple to the people. The words of what? Words of life. Get back out there and preach the gospel. Get back out there and tell them about Jesus. Get back out there and let them know. Look what it says in verse number 29 when they come back and they're calling. Chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. What's going on here now? Peter's taking opportunity to sow the seed. Every time you mention Jesus, every time you mention the cross, every time you mention the resurrection, every time you talk about your salvation experience through Christ, you're sowing the seed. And he sowed the seed. And they said, hey, something ain't right here. Y'all need to stop this. You need to quit doing talking about this. Verse 38, and now he said unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this council are our work of men, it will come to naught. This is what some of the groups said. Hey, let's just back off. Let's let them alone. But they didn't like it, and they mocked. They didn't receive it. Every time we share the gospel, dear friend, they're not going to receive it, and they're going to mock. But just when they mock and they make fun and they call you names, it doesn't mean we just quit. It don't mean we just back up and say, well, they're mocking. Look what happened there in verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Whose name? Jesus' name in verse 42. And daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. People just keep going on. It is our responsibility to share the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. The way they respond, the way they react, has nothing to do with our responsibility. We just stay faithful. Well, back over in Acts chapter number 17, there are those, as we looked at it, in verse number 32, 33, 34, some will mock, some will say, wow, I think I'll hear you again on this matter. Let's say it there in verse 32. We will hear thee again of this matter. That's going to be the response sometimes. And praise God for it. That's what the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 3 and verses 6 and 7. Some plant, some water. Some come by, water. Some come by, plant. Some plant, some water. Some plant, some water. And as time goes on, they're hearing more of the matter. They're talking. They're listening. What's our job at this point? To leave the door wide open for the next person to come back and be able to water. You cannot convince somebody that is not ready to receive Christ their personal Lord and Savior. You cannot convince them that they are, or will be, or can be, or should be saved at that moment unless the Spirit draw them different. We're no different than the Pharisees who make them twofold child of the devil. But you know, you don't want to go to hell. Well, Lord, no. Oh, good, you're saved. What? When did that happen? From the heart man believes unto righteousness. Leave the door open. Plant water. Plant water. Well, if I don't have another notch in my belt, they won't know I'm a soul winner. You should be a planter or a water. That's what we should be. A planter, a planterer, or a waterer. Y'all got it? Just share the gospel. It is God's job to do the saving. It's too much pressure, Brother Hector, for me. It's too much pressure for you. Brother Randy, it's too much pressure when I go out there. I got to get somebody saved. I got to get somebody saved. If I don't get somebody saved, they're going to think I'm not right with God at the church. There's too much pressure. We can't do it. And we get beat up, we beat ourselves up, we get broken down, and we get sad. Listen, dear friend, we need to leave the door open so that somebody else can come on, plant, water, until the moment that God brings the increase. You remember the story of last month at the nursing home? Here's a young man in there with a car wreck, had some kind of surgery or something. He was being rehabbed on there at the thing. Saw we was having service, somebody invited him, he heard we was from Lock Haven. All of a sudden he remembered Poncho, who used to be a member here. He had never been here. Now he wants to talk. He listens to the singing, he listens to the preaching, and somewhere along the line throughout this time, somebody shared the gospel, and he comes, he said, Pastor, can I talk to you privately? I said, sure. We went off in the room, he said, I want to trust Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. He said, wow, Pastor, you a wonderful soul winner. How? I didn't even do the preaching that day. Brother Josh did it. And Lord knows my singing couldn't save him. If it wasn't for the rest of them around me, dear friend, with me singing, they'd roll their chairs up out of there. I said, Lord, this is like a chalkboard scratching. No, I wasn't a wonderful soul winner. You know what happened? I was there at the moment just to pour a little bit of water, and God brought the increase. So what they're going to hear, you know, that's the response. Yes, they're going to mock. Yes, they're going to make fun. Some are going to say, listen, sounds good. But I've been raised this way and that way, and it just is not clicking right now. Okay. Can I pray for you? Pray. Leave the door open. But then it said, verse 32, 33, 34, that there were some that would believe. So what do we do? Do we quit whenever we say, well, that one there mocked and made fun. Now it's time to pour water on the fire, pack up the tent, and go home. Done. Didn't work, tried it. It's not doing. Aren't you thankful that Paul didn't? See, this morning in 2019, a week before Easter, I'm preaching about an event that took place over 2,000 years ago. Aren't you glad that Paul went on? Paul's right there mocking. Remember, he started in North Greece, stayed there 3 weeks, they got mad, run him off, went to Berea, mad, run him off, went to Athens. Some are mocking him. Some said, hey, sounds good. So that's got a little logic to it. I think I can hear a little bit what you're saying, Paul, but I'm just not ready. So what do we do? You know what we do? We're looking for that moment of encouragement like we had last month at the nursing home for that good ground. We keep going. We keep going. Some will believe. Pastor, how do you know that? By a show of hands, without embarrassing anybody. And if you have not trusted Christ, I'm not asking if you're religious. I'm not asking if you go to church. Listen, you come up in this church, sit around here until you become a cocoon. The spiders come out and wrap you up. Put you off in a corner and wait till their next supper time. I'm not talking about church. I'm not talking about you grew up in a religious system. I'm talking about right now. How many with a clean, conscious heart can say one day, Pastor, I realized God's word is true, and when it said, I am a sinner, I believe it. And I read that Jesus Christ, the righteous, a man, the Son of Man, the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary to pay for my sins that I owed. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I heard that message, and I trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I told God, God, I am sorry. Would you please save me? And thou, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. No religious works. No antics. No church membership. I thank God for church membership. It's got its place. But if you're relying today on church membership and not knowing Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you'll spend eternity in hell. With a show of hands, how many can say honestly in their heart, Pastor, I know Jesus is my Savior. Some believe. Look here. You believe. Somebody watered. Well, they don't embarrass you. How many of you mocked before you got saved? Aren't you glad that one didn't quit? How many can say here with me right now, I think that sounds pretty good, Brother Johnson? I think it sounds pretty good. I'll hear more of this matter. How many can say right now, the first time you heard the gospel message, you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? Miss Lee. Different reactions right here in our own little congregation. Different. Been working with you for a while, didn't we? Came around. They wanted to hear more. They may have mocked. They may have went on. I think they're from up there around Jersey way. They probably said, that crazy pastor down there, he can't talk worth a lick. Gravel in his mouth. I don't know what they did. They ain't never said that. Well, they ain't the mocking kind. But they always hear more. Then all of a sudden, the water, the plant. The water, the plant. God brought the increase. But there is no wrong person we can share the gospel with. None. So we see the responses. Some will mock. Some will want to hear more later. And some will trust Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. So with three different responses, Paul moved on. He didn't allow this here response to stop him. In chapter 18, he moves on to Corinth. And guess what he does? He keeps preaching. Keeps sharing. He keeps presenting the gospel. Why? He understood it was his responsibility. You know, the Bible says to us in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're to go to preach the gospel to every creature, to every person, to every person. Where is everywhere? That's the kind of math we got nowadays. 5 plus 5 equals 22, if you want it to be. So, Pastor, where is everywhere? You've got to explain this everywhere. The Bible does a very good job of that. If you would, go with me to Romans chapter 15. I'll let God explain to us where this everywhere is. He's done told us to every creature. in Mark 16:15, in Matthew 18, he says, go to all the world and preach the gospel. In Acts chapter number 1, verse 8, he says, start in Jerusalem, Judea, spread around to Judea, go to Samaria, and then go to the uttermost parts of the world. Look over in Romans 15 and verse number 19. Here's everywhere. Romans 15, verse number 19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Verse 20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, listen, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as is it written, to whom he has not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. That's everywhere. Where's the everywhere? To the place where they have not seen. To the place where they have not heard. We got to go, church. There's streets around us. There's neighborhoods going up around us that have not heard the gospel message. Right around here. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we're constantly trying to get the folks to be involved in world missions and at local outreach. If you can't come to our normal times, dear friend, you are out of your house every day of the week. Somebody you can plant. Somebody you can water to. And you can let God bring the increase. You know, a lot of times we do it. And we got to be careful of this. There's too much of this going on. Some other church, some other person gets out there and works hard at work and talks to somebody at lunch break or talks to somebody at the ball game or the football game, basketball game or at a picnic or something, and they share Christ with them. And you know the Lord's been pricking your heart for years. Hey, you need to talk to that person. Hey, that person needs me. You need to talk to them. And somebody else comes along and does it. As soon as we hear, hey, what you been doing? I've noticed things changing. Well, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I've been going over to this church. Well, why don't you go to that church? Why don't you come to my church? That's building upon somebody else's foundation. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do it prior. We're supposed to be active prior. Don't build upon somebody else's foundation. And somebody else says, if God has moved upon a family or a church member to be planted and to become a part of a local body, the Bible says He frames and knits you together. If He's moved them there and they're there and they're friends of yours, and listen, the pastor happens to resign or the church decides they don't need that particular pastor anymore, they're looking for a new one, different, it's not time to go whispering in their ear and say, listen, hey, we got a good choir over at our church. It's time to get on our knees because that local body is the body of Christ. It's time for us to get a hold of God and say, God, bring a pastor to that church. Bring a man of God to that church that will love them and watch over them so that community can still have a light of Christ. Since I've been here now, September will be 11 years. Bible Baptist Church over here in Monterey Baptist Church, here they've been changing pastors like they got socks, changing socks or something. I mean, just constantly changing. And every time I hear it, I get on my knees. I say, God, please let those people stay there and serve God and serve God. Listen, I know sometimes you got to move. I do understand God moves you sometimes, but He don't move them whenever we get in their ear and whisper. You let the Holy Spirit of God move them. You let God do the moving. I understand there's a church. We need to be reaching unchurched people. Lost people. Reaching out to people who don't have a church family to love them and to care for them. That's what that we got to quit building upon other people's ministries. And I'm saying we. I mean all of our religious groups. I try, Pastor, as your pastor, to remind us. Listen, let God grow this. Let God plug them in. God has brought some precious people to our church from other churches. I understand that. And I'm going to tell you this. This is what I do every time I get a visitor card. Every time I get a visitor card and they say, I am from this church. When I leave this pulpit and I get over there, I get on my phone and I call that pastor. And I say, Pastor, I'll tell you, as your friend, this family was at our church today. Is there something wrong? Can you reach out to them? Whether it's right or wrong, Sister Barbara, I do it. I do it. Well, Pastor, did they ever return the favor? Some. I'm not looking for a favor. I'm looking to be able to stand up in this pulpit and be able to sit down across from another pastor and be able to look him in the face and know that he knows I cared enough to let him know that his flock was having problems. And sometimes God moves. Most of the time what they say, Pastor, if God allows them to move there, at least they're going to a good church. If they don't come to your church, they're going to end up in a community church that's just out there on the far left side of things that don't care about God or nothing. They're just in it for this, the social activity. Listen, we got to be busy, church. Don't allow the different responses. Because we just look right here, just a small sample survey right here. There's different responses. Different responses. Stay busy. Stay at it. The gospel is important. If our choir never gets to 60-member choir, but Jesus is preached every time these doors are open, we have done our job. We have done our job. It's all about Jesus. We never, listen church, we never, I'm about to close. We never want the testimony of this. They had the greatest solo. Their pastor is the greatest orator. Their choir is the best. And they never mention it. Did you see how they glorify God over that church? Do you see how they lifted Jesus up over there in Lockhaven? That's the testimony, church. Listen, one day, when this instrumental group that's going to practice and they play for us, one day I'm looking that over there we have to extend the pulpit out and put some chairs over there and have 15, 16, 17 different instruments playing while the choir's playing, while the songs are going on, while the congregation's going on. But I don't want people around Orlando to say, wow, let's go listen to the orchestra. I want them to say, come. There's a church over there that lifts up Jesus high and holy, and they love Jesus. That's the testimony we got to have. Is that Jesus first? Let's stand to our feet, church. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We talked all around and in the gospel. Dear friend, you know whether or not there's been a time in your life that you've trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you have not, would you please come? Let us take the Bible. Listen, I can't save you. My shaking of your hands and talking to you doesn't save you. But from the Word of God, we can show you how you can know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ.
See you all today. I trust you'll be back here at your place this evening. Don't forget choirs at 6 o'clock. Brother Bill, are y'all practicing? 5:15, instrumental group. Choirs at 6 o'clock and prayer time at 6. And our normal evening service at 6:30. Visitors, thank you so much for being with us. After church, Brother Josh and Sister Lois will be right outside the door there. Joash had a birthday this week, and they want to give y'all some cookies in celebration of his birthday. Pretty good deal. They want to give to you for his birthday. So wish Joash a happy birthday. Father, we love you. We thank you for allowing us to be in your house today. God, we know that we all have this testimony. We are chiefest of sinners. Thank you for your compassion, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for these folks who've come out of their day to set apart a time to come and to worship you as a corporate group. God, help us to meditate upon thy word and hide it in our hearts daily. Help us as a church to be a Jesus-first church. Lord, people in this world need you. Don't let us be despondent and inactive because of the reactions of those that we share the gospel with.
they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting you. God, help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.